You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe. Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. So you got to get over the hump. It's always going to be better getting over that hump. But the bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference what day it is, what day of the week or whatever. Because what time is it? That's right, brothers and sisters, it's nation time. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope you will get, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, you'll get it done anyway. Because you always persevere. You never procrastinate. And that's why we appreciate and love you for it. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcast, click on that, and then you'll see African Perspectives, and click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. Followed by Let's Buy a Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10 on Mondays. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Had a great program last night. Finally, I think he worked the bugs out, and you know, there's always something with, you know, with the system. But he had a very spirited program last night, and it's always good to listen to Dr. Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, on Tuesdays nights from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 to 9 Central, 6 to 8 Mountain, or 5 to 7 West Coast time. On Wednesdays, today, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. And then, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. No, it is not. It is not me at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's Sister POC, Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. The products that you see on WeBuyBlack.com on that website are produced by us. We Buy Black. Get You can get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. So check it out. WeBuyBlack.com. I was hoping that during the ULU conference, I talked to Brother Lamar from We Buy Black, would come to the conference, at least to the reception part of the conference of Us Lifting Us on this past weekend, which was canceled because of it was on the campus of Atlanta University, Morris Brown, and everything was canceled. In fact, everything around the country was canceled, you know. And get a chance to talk about his endeavor to open up a supermarket like we do too and see how we can work together. I mean, the bottom line is everybody doing this, a little of that, and a little of that, we need to find a way to come together and choreograph stuff. And, you know, if you're doing that, that's cool. And it's not that we're saying you not to do it, but we need some coordination. You know, I always talk about the ancient Kemetic society and what made it great. Study, communication, cooperation, and organization. Study, communication, cooperation, and organization. Sorry about that, family. Always jumping up with something here on my computer. I'll hopefully we'll straighten this out real soon because it's aggravating. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Taihemba has been taking our people to Africa for many years now. So check him out at AfricaForTheAfricans.org. The number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. The trips he's got planned for this year, next month, coming up. Well, you know, I'm hoping that they'll be able to go on this trip, but let's see. I'll still announce it until otherwise told not to. Senegal and Gambia, April 3rd through the 13th. That's for $3,300. Then Ghana, repatriation investment tour, May 25th to June 5th, $3,700. South Africa, roots and culture tour, November 20th through November 30th. $3,700. And then at the end of the year, December 24th to January 5th, 2021, Ghana repatriation investment tour, once again, $3,700. And then next year, around the same time in April 2nd to April 12th, 2021, the Senegal and Ghana tour for $3,500. And you just make a $400 down payment. Deal with the payment plan, and you can go on a trip of a lifetime. In fact, go to his website, or better yet, even go to Facebook. Look at the pictures. You want to see photos of those tours? Go to Facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of those tours? Go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother, Brother Renoko, this trip upcoming to Uganda and Rwanda, but it's in October. It's going to be in October. And that trip will be October 5th to the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. Go to the brother's website, because he also has a trip at the end of October, from October 22nd to November 4th, to Kemet, his annual tour to Egypt, October 22nd to the 4th. Those are around about $4,200, both of those trips, around that I can get the direct. But go to the website. Look at the pictures this brother has posted, just some beautiful pictures. You know, like I'm saying, you know, people have this image of Africa that is so damn distorted by intent. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha Incorporated, you know, and these brothers are doing the work. They're doing the work here in the States and on the continent and in Ghana. They have the land. They are starting to build already the Kashi building village. They're building a village at Kashi, and it's going to be done by the end of the year. Their mission, of course, is that they're a Pan-African organization. And they want to cultivate leadership in our youth and families through practical experiences and cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health and technology. And, of course, the Kashi Project
has been, and they're still raising money for it, you know. The Kashi Project stands for Kwaku Adu Sustainability Institute. Brother Adoa, I think it's pronounced Adoa. I got to get the pronunciation correct. He was a Ghanaian ethnobotanist and helped the Mabakwaishua with learning and understanding, you know, the land and how to grow food in the proper way to be sustaining. You know, he'll provide, Kashi will provide a sacred space for researching the ancient traditions of sustainable housing, holistic healing, and organic agriculture. In the footsteps of Dr. Odua, we are committed to our people, Ghana, and sustainability through natural resources in order to make Kashi a reality for the community and the people. We are raising $250,000 through various fundraising efforts. Habasha is committed to doing our part to build Kashi in Africa. We can't do it alone. They need your help. Once again, go to HabashaIncorporated.org. HabashaIncorporated.org. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in Atlanta in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Their store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3. And brothers and sisters, they even have a Holocaust museum. And the center has everything. They got furniture, clothing, artwork, new books, and so forth. They got Kwanzaa kits. They got the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes. They got it all. But, of course, they have books. And if you're looking for a book, give them a call at 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They also have a class every Saturday, the African history class of Know Thyself. Brother Olatunji is our instructor, and every Saturday is free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturdays. But if you can't make that, but you like that information, they also have an African history multimedia library with over 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. That's a whole bunch of stuff, brothers and sisters, right there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, and I just talked to her the other day. I'm going to be doing a presentation there next month, and thankful to do so on our history. And she has books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, and a number of gifts. And give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore. Of course, Medu means writings. The next word is Netcher, Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods. My brother, Gazandi Ajamu, in the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. He has books. He has the shoes, the gas shoes. He has clothing, you name it. That brother has it. Check him out in Lithonia, Main Street in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night at 9 p.m. So tomorrow night, check them out. Dial the number 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That is Us Lifting Us, ULU. And like I said, we had a conference. Well, they've had our conference and it was canceled because of what's going on with COVID-19. So, Akaban Institute, Baba Barudi and Sister Yah, his lovely wife, are teaching our young warriors. They need our support. Remember, Akaban Institute, they accept nothing outside of our community. That's why it's important that we support what they're doing. Akaban Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you have Cash App or PayPal, put the dollar sign in. Yaha, the letter M, then Baruti, Baruti, and make your donations. Make them consistently. That would be great. They would be very appreciative, believe me. Another organization we promote is Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing outstanding work in Haiti, in the northeastern portion, in the rural area of Haiti. You know, the city area and the lower parts, they always get more attention and funding and so forth. But she's doing it in the rural area, and it's beautiful to see the lovely children. They're doing education, healthcare, and cultural sustainability, farming and so forth. They're doing it themselves. They need your support. Gabrielle Aurelia, Sonje-Haiti, Sonje-Haiti, AYITI.org. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yesterday, March 17th, I would now remind my beloved African sisters that a positive, optimistic, loving woman strengthens and gives life to a man. But an antagonistic, negative, or pessimistic one can destroy him. Ishakamusa Bereshango. Ishakamusa Bereshango. We share a birthday. That's right. Yeah, that fact is March 17th, and which is ironic that Brother Baruti would put this quote of his in the narrative on March 17th. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day yesterday. And sister said, yeah, I didn't see brothers and sisters, you know, dressing up for Black History Month and praying on that. And I didn't see brothers and sisters, you know, for Kwanzaa. But you see all these Negroes got on green celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Believe me, if they could have done that in a group and crowd yesterday, it would have happened. Believe me. Ishakamusa Bereshango. A woman warrior looks for a man's potential. Her questions are of his strength, power, persistence, and resilience. His ability to intrepidly confront challenges. His clarity of vision. The answer for her lies in what he has done and what he is doing now relative to what he says he intends to do. I have long reflected on the accuracy of Elder Sister's observations that a man chases a woman until she catches him. I say, affirm, I am secure in my compliment. Affirm, I am secure in my compliment, and we need each other. March 18th. Solitude, the long moments of meditative contemplation, have given me the key to my freedom. I repeat, solitude, the long moments of meditative contemplation, have given me the key to my freedom. Omawale, Malcolm X, El Hajj, Malik El Shabazz. It's a well-known fact that many of our warriors raised from behind barbed walls. And sadly, for many of them, prison was the first time they had the opportunity to seriously contemplate their power and the state of African people. It is there where they find their African selves. Not being able to access our most prominent front lines from where they are makes them no less a warrior than those who are on the outside. Warriors are warriors wherever they may be. In fact, some of them on the outside are more spiritually and mentally imprisoned than those physically held captive in the deepest bowels of this beast. A conscious mentality is never the sole domain of free Africans. If anything, direct oppression hones stronger, more determined soldiers. Its spirit, doggedly unbroken, hell breeds fearlessness. So many of these unnamed African daily work against odds most of us could never imagine. It is beyond most of us to envision the work that they put into strengthening themselves in the revolutionary spirit of the likes of George Jackson, Mumia Abdul-Jamal, Mutulu Shakur, and Sundiata Okoli.
Location has never been as important as mentality. This is a Pan-African nation-building effort. And in the eyes of those of us who understand this, prison is simply another majority African European dominated country. Unfortunately, we often dismiss these acknowledgeable, dedicated warriors to our enemies' benefit. Affirm, I prize the awareness gained in precious moments of solitude. Affirm, I prize the awareness gained in precious moments of solitude. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. My good brother, Baba Barudi. Yeah. You know, it's, I usually read, this is very important, the Kwame Nkrumah. I'm also going to read Sister Marimba Aini as well as Lester, Lester Velt Middleton, the brother who did. If you ain't hip to Lester Velt Middleton, go to YouTube, put his name in. He did some beautiful interviews with our warrior scholars of the past, Dr. Clark, Ivan Vasertima, Asa Hilliard, Doc Ben. So if you haven't heard them, and you definitely need to hear them, so I would suggest that you do that. Go online. That's the thing about YouTube. You can let the ancestors speak. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. We believe that there is no other discussion. It's not trying to argue whether or not we should be that, because that's ludicrous. The only discussion we have them even get heated is how do we make it happen? How do we make it happen? In light, of course, of that, they're trying to get rid of us. Kwame Nkrumah, the speech of freedom in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely, because this is right after 1957, of course, when Ghana gained its so-called independence from Britain. It was the first countries to do so, throwing off the shackle of the colonizer, so to speak. I say that like that because that's the reality, is neocolonialism was still. But this is what he said in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear or envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Some years later, this is Brother Kwame Nkrumah's quote. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are once again colonized and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. So true, brothers and sisters. So sadly true. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view because we are Africans and because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. That's Sister Marimba Aini. We must not be the people
who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square, the African's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Because we have toiled here and we have nothing for ourselves. This book, this program is about going home and doing for ourselves. That's what this program is about. Going home and doing for ourselves. We're going to talk today about the virus that's out there. And, of course, we all know that it's scary. And things are being done. And, you know, some people are saying, like, man, they're going to institute martial law. Well, they could. I mean, look at Italy. Look at a lot of parts of Europe. What's interesting is the fact that Africa is not deeply affected. That's what's interesting. You know, in fact, it was because they looked at the map where infections were happening, and it wasn't happening so much in Africa. There was a rumor going around that Africans couldn't catch the COVID-19 virus. And of course, that's not true. In fact, many American Africans have been getting it. You know, Idris Elba is in London. Well, he's in Europe. In fact, Europe, all throughout Europe, it's, you know, and so far here in the States, and it's been spreading in the States, every state has it now, every state, including Alaska and Hawaii, has somebody who have contracted the virus, and some places are a lot more prevalent than others, you know, and now over 100 people have died. And to make sure that they can stem the tide of deaths, more importantly, because, you know, past viruses, past plagues, past mass pandemics, some individuals, you know, a lot of people died. Well, of course, you didn't have the communications you had then. You didn't have the medical knowledge that you have today. And of course, the vaccines. You know, sometimes as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking of some of the things I could say that are very controversial, like, you know, Bill Gates warned the public of a virus coming, and you know he's pushing vaccines. In fact, my thing is, when I see Bill Gates, I want to punch him in the face, along with all other people. I want to punch in the face, and I'm not a violent person, but you know, because he is a eugenist. He wants to get rid of African people. I remember him coming out there on a talk, and he's talking about Africa, and he's talking about vaccines. And he says, and I played it over and over again, and he says, we're going to use this for population control. I'm saying, what? Vaccines, I thought, were to help and cure people, to eradicate whatever is afflicting them, to make them well and healthy. He's talking about getting rid of people. Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are snakes. To hell with Bill Gates. But he's talking on that particular piece, and he's talking about, you know, developing these vaccines. And, of course, you see that's what's happening. Even though there's many industries that are suffering and are going to suffer globally, the people who are making the masks, the people that are making the ventilators, they had one Caucasian who is, young man. His company just blowing up. He was just making a few each day. Now he has to make literally hundreds in the week. And then, of course, you see here in the States, the panic and the fear. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, a lot of times what makes people even ill and causing their immune system to not function as properly as it should, not function as properly as it should, is fear. Fear, stress will weaken your immune system. And that's one thing that in this situation that you're going to need, a good, strong immune system. Now, I'm hoping that everybody adheres to it, and just as they said here in the States and in Europe, particularly that are, because in China, the rates have gone down because, they've exercised some, what, as a cliche goes, some draconian measures. Yeah, you're going to stay home. You are going to be quarantined, self-quarantined. We're shutting everything down. Because if you understand how the virus spreads, it's just like, two movies that you can get if you want to. One is Outbreak from the, I think it's like the late 90s with Dustin Hoffman, Cuba Gooding, Morgan Freeman, and Donald Sutherland. Outbreak, about the Caucasian who brought this monkey back, and the monkey was infected. But one thing that they showed in the beginning of the movie was this African village being bombed. The virus that they talked about in that movie was called Mutaba. But some years later comes Ebola. The same thing. It makes you so sick. You're bleeding out of your eyes and everything. No cure. And you see in that beginning of the movie, they bombed it. One of the doctors, he's looking and he's seeing this, I don't know if it was a helicopter or a plane coming, and they parachuted a bomb down there and destroyed the village. Outbreak. And of course, they quarantined this town that the Caucasian who brought that monkey back, who was sick, and he went to the theater. All those people in the theater, and he's sneezing and coughing, and the HVAC system was carrying, because this disease could be easily transmitted, through the air. You don't have to contact the person. If it's in the air, you're going to get it. It's just like with this COVID-19. If it's on the surface and you're touching it and you're putting it to your eyes or mouth, if you touch your face, you're going to get it. The other, of course, is Contagion, which came out 2011 with Lawrence Fishburne, and that's another deep one. So they kind of prep you for what you're going to experience, and even at that, you're not prepared. But one thing was surprising and very beautiful was the preparation of Africans, and reason why they mentioned that Africans, because they said that Africans can't get it, and that's not true. But on the continent, one thing that, I don't know if you are on Facebook or if you're on an email or whatever, what has gone around was that that this virus can be killed with heat. So there's a saying that, if you are suspected or you have it and you feel it, because it's a respiratory virus, actually really like pneumonia. Once it gets into that later stage, your lungs fill up. And of course, when your lungs fill up, your breathing is restricted to the point where you can't breathe and you die. But what they're saying is it's in your nasal cavity. That's where it all begins at anyway, in your throat and so forth. And they're saying is that you take a heater, a hair dryer, take a hair dryer, close the back end of the hair dryer, get a water spray bottle to moisten your face, to keep your face moist, and blow that hot air into your face, into your nose, into your mouth. And yes, that's what they're saying. That will help kill the virus. It'll help deplete it. You know, and there's some other stuff that's going around, and it says here's a test to see if you got it, to see if you got it. And that's to, you know, take some deep breaths and hold your breath for 10 seconds. If you can, if you cannot, and there's pain and so forth, then you may have the problem. Because once again, it's a respiratory, mostly a respiratory disease. You know, so if you can hold your breath for 10 seconds and there's no pain, no pain, and you can don't do it, then you're all right, you know. Yeah. But there was a piece that that I thought was very pointed. I'm going to try to play that for us here about what's happening in Africa. You know, what Africa is doing to deal with this virus. So I'm going to play that for us, and then we'll take a break. Then we come back from the break.
Kenya, Ethiopia, Ghana, and Gabon all confirmed their first cases of coronavirus. South Africa awaits over 100 citizens from Wuhan, the epicenter of COVID-19. Plus, South Sudan announces a new cabinet in a key step in the peace process following years of civil war. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Welcome. I'm Layo Adegoke. Kenya has confirmed its first COVID-19 case. The health minister, Muthani Kagwe, said she is a woman who arrived from the U.S. on the 5th of March and tested positive for the virus. Official reports say that the patient's fever has gone down and she is now stable and eating, but she would be kept in isolation until she tests negative. In the meantime, the Kenyan government has also suspended all public gatherings following the confirmation of the country's first case of COVID-19. Mr. Kagwe urges members of the public to observe personal hygiene and transport operators to regularly clean their vehicles. Well, just like Kenya, Ethiopia, Ghana, and Gabon have all confirmed their first cases of COVID-19. Ethiopian authorities say the patient is a 48-year-old Japanese national who arrived in Ethiopia on March 4th from Burkina Faso. The Minister for Health, Lia Tadese, said the patient is receiving treatment in an isolated facility and was in a stable condition. Ethiopians have been asked not to panic and to remain calm, as the government is doing everything it can to contain the spread of the virus. In Ghana, they have also confirmed their first two cases of coronavirus, and Gabon confirms its first case. Ghana's health minister, Kwaku Ayemang Manu, said two people who'd arrived from Norway and Turkey tested positive for the virus. In Gabon, government spokesperson Edgar Anises Mbubu said the patient was a Gabonese man who'd arrived from France. Well, over in Tunisia, the health ministry has announced 6 new cases of coronavirus, bringing the total of confirmed cases in the country to 13. A mandatory self-quarantine period of 2 weeks has also been imposed for all travelers arriving from China, Iran, and the worst-affected European countries. On arrival in Tunisia's airports, travelers must also register their details using an online form with a QR code, in addition to a paper form. reform. Tunisia has gradually been testing more in recent days and has applied tighter controls and prevention measures that include closing the National Theatre, cancelling most festivals and concerts scheduled for this month, also postponing many conferences, lectures and workshops, and daily cleaning of interbuses with antiseptic solutions. In South Africa, they now have 24 confirmed cases of COVID-19, and there are more positive ones still growing through the verification processes. Speaking to the media today, Health Minister Dr. Zweli Mkhize gave details of the situation at the moment, as well as an update on the evacuation mission of 122 South Africans.
The location is in the hands of the Defence Force, which is leading the evacuation mission. This ranch resort, 25 kilometers from Polokwane, South Africa's Limpopo province, is a quarantine location for the 122 South Africans being brought home from Wuhan, along with the entire evacuation team. Despite repeated assurances from government that these people returning are not sick, their return has sparked national debate as worry increases among the people. Just before the location went on lockdown, the health minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, briefed the media on latest developments.
As we have seen now at this point, there's a lockdown. When we get out of here, that will be the end. They will not be allowing anyone other than the teams that will be assigned to be here. The staff, the crew, everyone is going to be on a lockdown. They'll be part of the quarantine. But as we say, at the moment, all of the people are healthy and well. So that is the situation as it stands now. So we're just happy to say that when they move from Manila, they will go to Wuhan, and from Wuhan, they'll come back to South Africa. As to what time they land here, we can just guarantee you that before the weekend is over, they will have arrived. But we have also indicated to you that there's no reception committee. There's no team that must go and wait for them at the airport, because if you do that, you might actually just inadvertently cross the line, and therefore you'll be forced to come in.
With two false positives recorded so far, Dr. Zweli Mkhize gave the current figure of the people actually infected in South Africa.
We had announced 16 cases. Today we're announcing 8. That makes it 24. So let's not have confusion. However, I have said, we are aware now that the additional cases which are positive, we will not reveal the numbers yet until they are verified. And I explained verification in terms of ensuring that positives are positives, so that you don't end up with withdrawing any of them. So we're working on that. And secondly, we need to get the profiles. When the issue around travel ban was raised, our teams have gone through to look at what has been happening. In reality, we have noticed that it's difficult to completely close down traveling, but what we have seen is that people actually reroute from various other countries. So a number of people who would have come from Italy landed here from Dubai. So if you are only going to be specific about one country, just be aware that people can actually use various other countries, as it were.
Testing has been decentralized in the country, with private sector players involved, and enlightenment on keeping a social distance in crowded places and keeping clean continues, with a call for people to desist from spreading fake news. The health minister also called for the privacy of the people affected to be respected. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the president is expected to meet the interministerial committee working on the COVID-19 in South Africa. From Limpopo province, South Africa, Betty Dibia, Channels Television News.
The second confirmed case of COVID-19 in Nigeria is now tested negative to the virus after a week-long treatment and care at the Infectious Disease Hospital in Yaba, Lagos State. The Minister of Health, Dr. Osagie Ehanire, maintains that health officials are also closely monitoring the improvement in the health status of the index case, with the hope of discharging him early next week. According to him, the current status of COVID-19 in the country does not require travel ban on any country. He, however, reiterated government's determination to step up surveillance and screening at the various entry points, especially the international airports.
Nigeria has not placed a travel ban on any country passport or flights. Between 7 January and 12 March 2020, a total of 42 people who met our case definition have been screened for COVID-19 in 6 states: Edo, Lagos, Ogun, Yobe, Rivers, Kano, and the FCT, of which 40 tested negative and 2 were confirmed positive. And these 2 are the index case and the contact of the index case in Lagos, and we have had no deaths from COVID-19. The index case is clinically stable and is much improved. Steady progress till early next week will guide the medical team in discharging him. The second confirmed case, a contact of the index case, is testing negative for the virus now, meaning he has cleared the virus and will be allowed to go home. Due to the COVID-19 outbreak, the Federal Ministry of Health reviewed the policy to allow passengers without yellow card or proof of vaccination to board their flight to Nigeria, with the understanding that they will be given yellow fever vaccination on arrival at our point of entry. The vaccination is free of charge, and the yellow card is at a nominal cost. This is in the interest of the health security of the public and also of the passengers themselves.
A Cameroonian man has become the second confirmed case of the coronavirus in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The health authorities say he has tested positive and is being treated in hospital. The patient is a 46-year-old man who lives in the DRC with his family. He returned to the country from France on Sunday and did not show symptoms of the virus. DR Congo's health authorities say they have so far identified 117 people who have come in contact with both of the country's confirmed cases. The news comes a day after doctors in the country decided to return to work, ending a 2-month strike. The United Nations has also cancelled all UN system-sponsored side events at the headquarters in New York from the 16th of March until the end of April. Spokesperson for the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, says the decision to cancel takes effect immediately. The UN has undertaken measures to mitigate the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak, including social distancing in the workplace and assessing the criticality of travel and meetings against associated risks. The world body is also encouraging all member states to consider cancelling all side events for the meetings they are sponsoring.
Secretary General has taken the decision to cancel all United Nations system-sponsored side events at headquarters from March 16th until the end of April. He also strongly urges all member states to consider canceling all side events for the meetings that they are sponsoring. The Secretary General will be communicating with member states and staff in a short while to update them on the preparation measures the UN has undertaken is to mitigate the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. The UN building has been closed to visitors, and the Secretariat has instituted arrangements for staff to telecommute to reduce the population density in the building, thereby reducing the risk of transmission. The Secretary General will always balance the need for the UN to continue to deliver on its activities, for him to continue to do his work, and the need to protect public health.
That's what's happening in Africa. And because Africa has dealt with Ebola and others, they are well prepared to deal with this COVID-19 virus. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about what Africa is doing to deal with COVID-19 and what lessons that this country and others should learn. That's right, from Africa. All right, brothers. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Slipping into darkness. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's war slipping into darkness. Brothers and sisters, the other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., this program, African Perspectives, followed by on Mondays with Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9, and then Conversation, Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy on Thursday at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, Revive with Sister POC, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 414. It's not 414, Oshi. It's 215-409-9832. 215-409-9832. We have a caller on the line. Good afternoon, caller 267. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshi.
Yes. Hey, Brother Tim. I can hear you.
Hi, sir. Everything's good, my brother. I'm hanging up. So somehow we get disconnected, but I keep calling back.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I can call back and talk. That's better, though. Because if we don't get connected, I think something was wrong.
I heard that. Yeah. But you sound great, brother. How you doing,
sir,
today?
Brother Oshi, I'm looking at this virus that's out here, and I'm looking at it. I hate to say it. It looked like it may be a planned event. Some people look at it as an event, a germ warfare, decreasing in the population, and aimed at people of color or whatever the people may be that they want to reduce.
Well,
I'll say this, that I think Brother Oshi will soon find out more when it's over with.
Yeah.
The aftermath, you know, hindsight is 2020, and I'm looking at how it's hitting certain parts of the United States. It's also abroad in Europe, certain places abroad. And I'm saying to myself, what is going to be the outcome? What is the goal?
Right.
The short and long range goal.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing's interesting that, you know, they
This Caucasian who worked at Harvard University, a professor, I think it's epidemiologist. I'm not sure if he is an epidemiologist. No, I can't say it. Dealing with epidemics, epidemiologist who was working on some stuff with China. In fact, they caught him at the airport. They arrested him along with two Chinese nationalists, you know. And in fact, they were caught. One was caught with some vials. And right. And they were from Wuhan. Wuhan, of course, is the beginning of this virus and the spread of this virus, the coronavirus. And what's interesting is that, you know, viruses are out there, and sometimes they're identified or what they are. And then, of course, they're different strains. Because somebody said, well, man, you can kill coronavirus with Lysol. Because it's on the can. And that's probably that's probably true. But this strain of coronavirus, the COVID-19, is different. And it's not, you just can't spray it with Lysol and that's it. You know? And it is now spread throughout the world. Not so much in South America, not so much in Africa, but devastating. In fact, the epicenter now is no longer China, it's Europe. I mean, look at Italy. The country of Italy is totally shut down, you know? And they're talking about, of course, restricting travel globally. You know, in fact, Mexico said they're going to secure their borders. They ain't going to let no Americans come in to Mexico. I just found that, you know, ironic and hilarious, really, after all how Mexico has been treat it, you know, in terms of how.
Well, I'll tell you, brother, you're not coming through that well, but all I could hear is that you and I see that that the way things have happened in the past tells you what our future's like. Sometimes.
Hello, Tim. Oh, he'll call back. Okay. But like I'm saying, you know, that when you are looking at this virus. Hello, Tim?
Yes. Okay. I came back. I got disconnected again.
Okay.
But I'm going to say, if we look at the past at these things that have happened, we can know what our future's like. Now, if we know what our future's like, it's our think tank that must know how to handle this. You see? Because sometimes we can't avoid it because we're not in control of the evil. But how to handle it and protect ourselves and shield ourselves against the evil.
Right. Well, look at how AIDS came on the scene, and,
yes.
and now that you know we know that AIDS was created at in Fort Detrick, Maryland, the AIDS
right.
virus was put in on saying that it first came out of Africa, you know,
exactly right.
Because I mean they always like to say stuff comes out of Africa.
That's right.
You know, but of course it was afflicting the gay community. Seriously,
right.
here in America. And of course,
right.
now, today, AIDS is still an issue. AIDS is still a problem. Not as
right.
big as it once was, but it's afflicting African Americans, American Africans, particularly American
right.
African women, you know.
That's right.
And so it has come to a point where the cure, that which is no cure really, was a cocktail that you had to have all of these multiple numbers of drugs. You know,
mm-hmm.
at least about 14, 15 drugs that you would have to take. That's why they call it a cocktail, you know, that has been cut down to just now a few. But it's still the issue. It's still a problem, you know.
Right.
And it affects everybody. But now this yeah. virus that is going around and devastating. And here in this country, when Trump, who is an habitual liar, a man who has no integrity, a man who has, I can't see how these, but I can see how these Caucasians elected him, and I know why they elected him, but man, but now he's coming to grips with the issue. Before it was a hoax, it was a Democratic hoax, like all the other things, and he said this, he said that, he said a bunch of stupid stuff. That now he has to kind of like backtrack on, rather, you know. But here's some lessons that could be learned from Africa. I'm going to read this
right.
particular piece right here, and we can comment on it, Brother Tim. Hold on. This is from Black Agenda Report. I haven't picked anything out from Black Agenda Report in a while, and I was looking. I was just trying to find something more on what happens in Africa, because it was said, and I said this earlier in the broadcast, that there were some people saying that we couldn't get it, that we couldn't get COVID-19. And, of course, Rudy Gobert, who's a basketball player, he's from France, but he's African. He's French-African. Right. And he got it. And then, of course, right. his teammate got it. And now Kevin Durant's got it and a few others. Right. Idris Elba's got it, you know. But all of these people will be well. I think the death sentence for somebody getting this is a seriously weakened immune system and age. Because the two people that died in Africa, when I read it a couple of days ago, one from Egypt and one from Morocco, and then they have a number of cases in South Africa.
Right.
There are very few other cases. Now, of course, that piece I just played showing that there's some cases and a few cases here and there, but they're dealing with it. The person who died in Egypt was not a national. He was from out of the country. Okay. And then the person who died in Morocco was over 80 years old, you know, because it's going to affect those who are older. So here's the piece from Black Agenda Report. Calm down about coronavirus and follow Africa's lead. Europe, not Africa, is the current epic center of the disease. A Hail Mary effort to delay the spread of COVID-19 in the U.S. through social distancing and wholesale closing of schools, large events, and major institutions has millions of people scramble to adjust to a new and disturbing reality. The stated strategic objective of these measures is to prevent the healthcare system from becoming suddenly overwhelmed. But there are doubtless many individuals whose thoughts are less community-orientated and who, while looking out for self, are instead driven by the hope that they will somehow evade the reach of the pandemic entirely. While it is sometimes difficult to find the space or opportunity to analyze the contradictions of the capitalist system while a crisis is unfolding, only a cursory observation of current circumstances reveal stark class-based disparities in lifestyle options. Executives and professionals, entertainers and so forth, have abandoned their offices and suites in favor of self-imposed quarantine using technology to conduct business as usual. In seclusion, they believe they have a fighting chance of avoiding the infection. Well, of course they do. Contrast the daily reality of the gentry with the circumstances of minimum wage and low wage workers, and the contradictions are pliable. In supermarkets and big box stores around the country, cashiers, sales clerks, stock clerks, and maintenance crews find themselves drowning in the oceans. That's Jay. Hold on, Jay. I'm going to mute you there, brother. Okay. In the oceans of crazed humanity, desperately buying everything in sight and exposing store employees to potential infection at a level that would make epidemiologists swoon. To get their jobs done, these service workers have no technological or virtual options. The net effect is that the ruling and the professional class have opportunities to delay or avoid infection, while, as usual, the poor are tossed to a rampaging virus as cannon fodder, or at least as a buffer. It didn't have to be this way. Just ask African healthcare professionals. While Trump regards Africa as a wasteland, he has had no comfort. He has to had to comfort or confront the reality that Europe, not Africa, is the current epic center of the disease. How did this happen? Africa is usually believed to be ground zero for horrible diseases. CNN recently reported that African countries have been vigilant about preventing, tracking, and containing infections. For example, when Nigeria's second COVID-19 sufferer was identified, it was quickly determined that he had been in contact with an Italian visitor. Health officials immediately tracked and identified everyone who had been in contact with the visitor and placed them in isolation pending testing. CNN reported health officials told CNN that Nigeria's experience with Ebola in 2014 has prepared the country for outbreaks such as COVID-19. DNCD Director Chikwe Eluzwe pointed to the speed with which Nigeria identified, confined the patient as a sign the country is prepared to deal with the outbreak. The system worked. We identified this case, diagnosed, and isolated within 48 hours of them entering the country. Eluzwe said, in other countries like Iran and Italy, for instance, by the time the first case had been confined, there was a widespread contact. He added, we successfully managed Ebola and are currently managing Lassa fever. We have a strong team that is used to doing this. Other measures in effect in various countries in Africa include hand washing stations in streets and at bus stops in Rwanda, 120-bed quarantine center in Kenya, walk-in COVID-19 testing centers in South Africa, mandatory temperature screening centers at the entrance of banks, office buildings, and restaurants, health screening of visitors at airports, and various other measures. What all this demonstrates is that there are rational, systematic, and scientific approaches to contain that need not involve the politically motivated and media-induced mass hysteria and fear of the kind that we have witnessed in the United States. It also leaves us to marvel about Africa's scientific potential when it ultimately throws off its neo-colonial shackles and moves definitively toward continent unity and socialism. Ashe. Generating mass fear as a public health policy has yet other unintended consequences. When large percentage of the population become terrified of infection and desperate to avoid it, they turn away from their suffering neighbors instead of toward them to help them through the illness. We are at our own best when we allow the example set by many, and while taking appropriate precautions, we minister to the sick without fear. We are at our worst when, as the case with HIV first appeared, we treat victims as untouchables, and we do not only shun them, but despise as though they are somehow responsible for their own suffering, and they also risk that they create for those who are well. During this period, concern and caution are certainly warranted, but irrational fear has no useful purpose. Africa has demonstrated that this disease can be brought calmly and effectively under control. The U.S. would be well advised to follow Africa's lead, the continent's lead. This article was written by Mark Fancher for Black Agenda Report, dated today. So let's get the conversation going. 646, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How are you today?
I'm fine, dear brother. I am doing well.
Are you trying to stay away from the virus? Are the Negroes in a major panic, or are they still going about their daily business? Just doing what they do.
Well, you know, it hasn't proliferated as it has in a few other places here in the States, as you know, but they're willing to do what other states are about to do, and that of course in cities, and that is to put a shutdown.
Did they close down the schools yet?
Oh yeah, they closed down the schools and all activities where the same pretty much dictate what it said. Only 10 or more people, anything above 10 or more people, those activities cannot happen. They cannot go on. So there is no mass congregating. You know, there's no games. There's no concerts. There's none of that. You know.
So that means the pork chop chicken eating institution.
Yep.
Yep. Is it going to be able to have all those Negroes in there you know, dancing and clapping. Well, but I tell you one thing. That master pimp preacher, Cleflo Dollar, he did what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
He set up a Cash App.
That's right.
He got a Cash App so those dumb Negroes could make sure they sit in their ties. So I guess the master pork chop chicken eater, T.D. Jakes, he'll be doing it soon. Now, my boy was telling me last Sunday he had, I think, 13,000 or more viewing him. It could have been more. I may have got the number wrong. But he had a whole lot of people viewing him dancing. And I'd like to know how many of them was hitting that donation button. Because I wouldn't send the Negro nothing myself. But, you know, a pimp got to get paid. Don't think, you know, a pimp not going to get paid. I mean, you know these girls are still out here on the strip doing what they got to do. So, I mean, hey, don't get it twisted. You know what I mean? That pimp.
Well, yeah, for some, life goes on.
It's not going to stop, man. And, you know, the thing is, I'm just hoping because of this virus, I may get that $1,000 because I could damn sure use it.
Well, I don't know what to.
I know that could go towards the trip back home.
You know, that's right.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's right. But, you know, I'm not sure what the criteria is at this time. Somebody said if you're a taxpayer, if you file for taxes, then you would be eligible to get whatever monies that they're talking about giving. You know, I don't know. You know.
Hey, listen. I'm a taxpayer. Send me my money.
I know that's right.
All. Just send me my money, and I could definitely use it. You know what I'm saying?
You're in America.
There's a couple of stocks I would like to buy with that $1,000 that I know it will go up, hopefully, because the way the market is going.
Yeah.
Down 1,000.
Yeah.
Up 1,000.
Right.
Down 1,000 a day. Oh, it's not looking what it is and what it's going to do. Now, I was talking, to my brother Ralph earlier today. I'm surprised he didn't call in. And he was saying how upset he was about, it looks like Joe Biden got the nomination.
Oh, yeah.
And these Negroes are so happy about it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something, Oshi.
Yeah.
We as a people, unfortunately, are in a sad state. Whenever you will accept someone like a Joe Biden to lead and guide you, only based on the simple fact that he had an association with a half-breed Negro that did more to harm you than to help you. So, I mean, we just in trouble, brother. We in trouble. We got to figure out, Oshi, honestly, how we can promote African sovereignty better than what we do. We got to wake our people up to the realization that we need to be looking homeward bound or gearing our children to go back home and build it up. Because this thing is falling, man. This thing is falling. And I'm going to say this, and I want y'all Negroes out there to think about this. If Fredo gets back in office come November, it's going to be a wrap for your voting rights any goddamn way. Because he's going to be able to finish it off with all of these judges that he's putting on the federal bench that's going to reject any lawsuit that you put forward into the courts. So whereby your rights are basically going to be totally declined. Y'all Negroes don't understand that. But the thing is this was so funny. You think that this clown Biden is going to do something. But he has a job to do. And what is his job? To build and grow the empire. That's what y'all Negroes don't understand. You're not wanted here. You're not needed here. You have no use here. Look at what they're doing. All of this, I believe, is to show that certain people in this country are no longer needed or wanted, and we got to figure out a way to get rid of their black asses.
Well, there's no more cotton to pick, huh?
Hey, you see any cotton that that's to be picked? Isn't it all picked by machine now?
Yeah, basically? No more cotton to pick.
Okay, so the bottom line
is sugar cane.
We better figure something out, man. Because, you know, in all truthfulness, Brother Osi, our usefulness and our time in this country is dwindling every damn day.
Yeah.
We just don't understand it, and we don't see it. I hope this virus is a wake-up call to how we as a people are in such really bad shape.
Well, you know, Jay, I don't know. There's so many things that happened in, as I look at our history, that I always thought that maybe this is a wake-up call. I thought Ronald Reagan was a wake-up call. I thought Nixon was a wake-up call. I thought, you know, definitely thought Trump was a wake-up call for us. But when you have been impacted with this idea of individualism, that America and what America is about, and extreme materialism and so forth, that it has a stranglehold, as I like to say, it has a vice grip. It has a vice grip on our minds. And so because of that vice grip that's on our minds, that's why you are apt to be scared of somebody who's talking like a Bernie Sanders, as opposed to the same old, same old. So what you had here was the Negroocracy and the Democratic machine making sure that, you know, Biden will get in, you'll get rid of Trump, and it really will be the same old, same old.
There you go.
You know?
Just so, another white overseer.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So.
That's all it is, O.
Well,
it's
even.
Another white overseer.
Yeah, because even.
He will keep you in line, he will keep you in check. He will do all of the necessary things to make sure that there will be no African progress.
Well, because,
and unfortunately, people don't see it.
Because the same thing with Barack Obama. We must understand whoever occupies the White House, be it male or female,
to build the empire.
Right, be male or female, and whether and whatever ethnicity, that individual's responsibility is to help maintain and sustain the privilege that white, exactly, the empire that they've created for themselves. You see?
Yeah.
And so.
And we just don't understand.
No.
This is not your empire. It's like I tell people all the time. This is a white man's country.
Yeah, it belongs to them. They created it.
This is who it belongs to. Yeah. It really belongs to the Native Americans, but they showed you what they do to them.
Exactly.
They made them less of an equation in the country than black folks. The only thing lower than black people in this country is Native Americans. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. You got a situation to whereas the Mexicans are coming to this country, and they're doing the necessary things to build their position in the country. You don't believe me.
Well,
Mexicans got more of a position in this country than we do. Imagine if every Mexican said we ain't going to pick no more fruit.
What the hell do you think will happen? The other ethnicities that have come here, or nationalists that come here, Asians, so-called Middle Easterners and so forth, Indians, they understand why they're here. They're not asking for a place in Congress, some seats in Congress. They're not asking for none of that. They're not asking for none of that. They know who they are culturally, and they band together, and they make sure that they take care of one another. You know, what was the trip when
they're here to get your money and go back home.
Exactly.
That's all they're here for.
Well, they're here to get your money and stay and bring more people there and help those back home. There's an understanding of who and what they are and why they're here, you know, where we, because of how we got here and what happened to us, we have no allegiance or no alliance to Africa or any other African country. In fact, that Bull Ados thing really brought that out, that we don't care about any other people but ourselves, because that's what you're trained to think as an American, especially a black American, you know. So you're only thinking about your own selfish interests,
And of course,
it's
all about.
You ain't even thinking right about that.
No, you're not, because the only thing you're thinking about is money, and position, and the hell with everybody else. Just like you know.
And you'll never have the position in this country.
No, because it's not for you. You may have some tokenism, but we as African people will never have a position in this country.
Why do you think that there's so few so-called billionaires in the country? Why do you think there's maybe in America maybe 6 or 7 black billionaires? Think about that. With all the black people in this country, why is there only 6 or 7?
And there's 600.
Probably two or three of them are really legit billionaires.
Right.
See, think about this. I always look at Mexico. 20 years from now, Mexico, if they do what they're supposed to do, they're going to be a hell of a fucking, excuse my language, a hell of a country. Because you know how they're going to solve their problem? They're going to round up all of the MS-13 gang members and other gang members and kill them all at some point in time. Watch. That's what's going to happen. And once that happens, the country is going to just flourish because the people from this country who have been here for a while are going to go back home, and they're just going to build up the country.
Well, let me
now,
say,
what not, will the country become? Will it become an industrial country that produces fruits, vegetables, agriculture? Will it become an agricultural country, or will it find, now this may, think about this, will it find oil or some other mineral resource? But I can guarantee you within the next 10 to 20 years, they're going to round up as many of these MS-13 members, and they're going to cause absolutely chaos on them, and they're going to kill a lot of them. Because that's the only thing that I see right now, in a sense, is holding Mexico back, is their gang violence. Once they eradicate that gang violence, which they can do, watch and see how Mexico flourishes.
Okay, we'll see.
Why do you think they work so hard to keep Haiti from flourishing? And you know, Haiti, from my understanding, has a couple of mineral resources that the world needs.
Right. And yet Haiti is so deeply impoverished and chaos.
As anything.
Yeah. Let me get this other call. 602, 602.
Sure.
Good afternoon. 602.
Yes, Oshie, I'm Brother Jay.
Hey,
Marcus.
What's up?
Hello, my brother Marcus.
How you doing, Marcus?
Yeah, all right.
Good.
Hey, Jay, I see the mayor and the governor up there fighting. In New York City, the governor and the mayor having some issues there. But
it's a ghost town, Marcus. It's basically done became a semi ghost town. They done shut down basically everything, Marcus. The restaurants are closed, the bars are closed. It's gonna be a serious economic panic, man. I know you know Harlem, and Harlem don't even look the same, man. It don't even look the same. It's wild, bro. It's wild. But hey, listen, they deserve whatever the hell they get. You know what I mean? Like I was saying, Marcus, as long as I can have food in my refrigerator, I'm cool. I don't care. I don't have no issue staying home. I know how to entertain myself.
Exactly. Now, in reference to what they were saying about that $1,000 there, from what I read, they said if you make more than $75,000, if an individual makes more than $75,000, they ain't going to get it. And if you want Social Security, you're going to get it.
You get it what?
If you're on Social Security.
If you're on Social Security, you'll get it. And they said it's not going to be one stimulus either, because depending on how devastating this thing is, they may have to give 2 or 3 checks, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, they're just going to going to watch and see. And another thing
think about this right quick, Marcus. Think about this right quick. Now, think about the logic of this. They're going to give you $1,000, right? But you're basically under a quarantine. How the hell are you going to spend it?
And they're saying you could go buy food or whatever the case. Maybe, you know, they'll allow you to go buy food and stuff like that. But even down here, down south, you know, the 24-hour Walmart, it ain't 24 hours no more. It's from 6 in the morning till 11 at night because the people just buying everything off the shelf. They're just grabbing everything off the shelf. So, you know. But another thing, what they
say,
oh, yeah, right. You know, look, we are bottom feeders. So, you know, the bottom feeder, we go survive.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
We're at the bottom anyway. So what the hell? You know,
hey, listen, I just went out there and bought me 16 cans of sardines and olive oil.
Exactly, brother. We know how they survive off of beans and rice. You know what I'm saying? It's them people who used to that steak. And they, you know, it's them. But another thing they're saying, too, is that for food stamps, they done took away the income requirement for food stamp now. So everybody could go up in there and go apply for some food stamp.
Oh, is that right?
Go up in there, yeah. And Medicaid, they done open it up to everybody. They're saying they don't open up Medicaid because, you know, if an illegal got it, he could spread it to somebody else. So they don't open it up for everybody. But as I said, we're going to survive this year, but it's going to be painful. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be painful. And, you know, yeah, it done broke out there in Europe. I was surprised when Trump went and said, stop travel from Europe. So that's when I figured, oh, that's how it's coming in. Because I was figuring it'd be coming in through Chinese people. But
hey, the reality is the white man can protect what is his best interest. Exactly. The question becomes, are we going to protect what's our best interest and how do we move forward? Because, you know, this is going to give people a chance to see the position and what your position really is in this country. I just worry about the young kids that are in vulnerable positions with miserable, abusive parents and things of that. I'm concerned more about that than anything.
Exactly.
But as far as us moving forward, will we learn anything for it? Because it's definitely going to change the dynamics on how society is, and a lot of people are going to suffer because of this. And, you know, maybe, you know, if the argument about how this country needs a redistribution of wealth, this may be the thing that sparks it, that will really show it. But it's unfortunate you got a devil like Joe Biden who's going to be the so-called architect of the discussion within the Democratic Party instead of somebody like Bernie Sanders who will at least deal with the social ills of this country, something that dumbass Biden will never do because he's an idiot. And I think he's in the early stages of
dementia. I do too.
We're in trouble because we have no real leadership. We have no black leadership that's principled enough to put forward the fight to make certain concerns. You know, it's sad because all the Negroes want to do is be a part of the system. They don't want to fight the system. They don't want to show the inequality that's going on. They don't want to put forward a so-called real black agenda. And if the truth be told, what is the damn black agenda? What is it?
There is none.
What the black agenda is.
To pray, because that's all they're talking about down here, brother. Pray. Oh, yes, we just got to stay prayed up.
We got to pray. Think about this. And all of this that's going on, why the hell the Sky Daddy ain't sending his son down here to save these people.
Hey, you
craziness.
You know what these Negroes down here say? They say the Sky Daddy sent it. Okay. Anyway, let me hang up the phone. All right.
Be all good, right. Marcus. Be safe, my African brother.
All right.
Oshie, think about that. Don't you think if there was real Sky Daddyism and it was what it was supposed to be, he would come down there and save the people? Or could it be that the Sky Daddy likes to see death and destruction? You know what I mean? Could that be the case? I mean, what is the mythology and all of this madness really, really about?
Well, I'll say this in reference to Christianity, that form of religion is probably the most devious and evil of religions, because the European who have co-opted it and imposed it on others, it says to the other that you should believe this, even though your lot right now is not good, but you believe this and you believe Jesus, and then you die, you go to heaven. But the people who imposed it do more evil, have displaced so many people. And then you are taught to fear God. I'm going to say this, brother. If you're going to give me a religion, I don't want a religion where I fear something. I don't want to fear anything. I want to respect it. I want to honor it. I want to hold it in high esteem. I don't want to fear nothing, because fear puts you in a position sometimes that you are catatonic. You can't even move. You know, it's not good for you.
You got a lot of white people like that now, Ochi. A lot of white people are scared. They in a panic. Why do you think that gun sales has escalated in these last couple of days? Yeah. Ammunition sales and all of that. Because the thing that we don't understand is the crazier and crazier this get, the more crazier the white man becomes.
Yeah.
Believe that. So you got to be willing and ready at all times to deal with this white man on the level of brutality. Now is the time that you can't play with him. I was telling a friend of mine last night that's a corrections officer. You know, and he has a right to carry his gun.
Right.
On and off duty, right? I told him, look, man, you got a habit of not having your firearm with you when you go out on these streets, bro. You gotta, from this day forward until this thing dies down, you gotta keep your thing on you, because you don't know what's gonna happen. That's why I try to move when there's the least amount of people out. I try to get to the store as early as possible, get what I gotta get, and get back to the crib.
Yeah.
Because you don't wanna be in a position to where as you get into any type of confrontation with these people, because you may have to hurt somebody. You really may have to hurt somebody.
But Jay, let me just say this. It, what's happening in European society, Europeans, Caucasians, whatever, white folks, is instability, a lot of it. And because they are violent prone, and because they have access to weapons that are truly unimaginable to a lot of human beings, guns that can shoot 1,000 rounds a second or some stupid stuff like that, and bombs and bump stocks and all kinds of stuff, lends itself to the fact that if they have it and it comes to a point, they may use it. And so, so for us, and this should be our quest, is to liberate ourselves, is to gain independence, is to be self-determining, is to be sovereign. It is not an armed struggle. It is a mental, psychological struggle for us. And the moment that we understand that and embrace that, now, instead of begging, pleading, crying, praying, voting, we separate ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We separate ourselves. We ain't saying nothing to them about anything. We do our job. We do what we have to do, because we are preparing has that movie, my favorite movie, to Get Out.
But see, Oshie, we don't see ourselves as not being a part of the system. We want to be a part of the system. We want to love the white man. We want to embrace the white man. We want to be like the white man. We don't want freedom, OC. We want everything this filthy, stinking, no good devil has. We want to be accepted by the white
right.
man.
This is true.
Loved by the white man.
This is
we
true.
We don't want the type of necessary independence and freedom as a people. We want to embrace this filthy, stinking, no good devil. We want to have his characteristics. We want to look like him. We want to be like him. We are insane when it comes to this yeah. white man. The evil.
Yeah.
The evil. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing more evil on the planet than a white man.
Yeah.
Nothing more evil. He's the most diabolical, sick creature that has ever been produced. I mean, think about it, Oshi. If you are blue black and your many, many years offspring turns out to be the new Rohu, wouldn't you think he would hate that his mama and daddy did to him what was done to him, made him into a pale-skinned mutant? That's the problem with the white man. He hates us because
he ain't us.
We allowed him to metamorph into right. a mutation.
Right.
We don't understand it.
Right.
This dog should have done. You know something? Sometimes you get something in a litter, or you get something and you supposed to kill it, but for some reason you just nurture it. That's what happened with the white man. When we saw that bastard come out of the caves, we should have killed it. We should have never embraced it. You see what happened to the Native Americans? They embraced it. They saved that bastard. And what did that bastard do? He basically took him off the planet.
Yeah.
That's the white man.
Yeah.
That's the white man. That's the only way you could call it.
Well, see, they're amoral.
All of this.
Right. They have no morality. They're selfish. They're greedy. You know, they're mean-spirited.
Think about it. The white man came to this land. The Native Americans embraced them. And what did they do? They killed them, enslaved them, and then when they had no more use for them, they put them on reservations. I mean, you gotta understand this. We don't want to understand this. We don't even want to look at it objectively. We don't even want to deal with the fact that whenever the white man comes into an existence with a people of color, all they do is murder, kill, oppress, and take whatever is there. There's no place in this world, no place. This is what I'm saying to you. There's no place in the world where people of color have been in existence, living amongst themselves in harmony, and the white man has come in this midst and not caused other destruction. No place in the world. No place. You can't name me no place. The white man is a destructive force. He's a disease. He's garbage. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Now that we've established that, Jay, good job.
What more could you establish? I mean, can you tell me one place where there's been people of color?
No, Jay, you're right. No, Jay, everywhere that the European has gone, and under the disguise of bringing civilization, they brought nothing. They were not civil. They're not a civil people.
They brought
the three D's. They brought the three D's: death, domination, and destruction.
And let's not leave out disease.
And disease.
I mean,
the four D's.
I remember one time. I'll just prove my point to you. I remember one time. This was years ago. on the radio. Armstrong Williams was in New York.
Oh.
He was hosting a show.
Armstrong.
On the radio station.
That Negro. Okay.
And I called up and I asked Armstrong Williams that question. You know he couldn't answer it. He tried to, but you know he couldn't answer it. You know what I mean? And every now and then I would call him up and I would ask him, Did you get the answer yet? But you could ask that to any place. Anybody. There's no place in the world where people of color, any people of color, we're talking about anyone that has any form of pigmentation of melanin in them, that the white man has come into existence and that caused totally destruction and havoc. No place in the world. That should tell you something about the white man right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to say nothing else.
Yeah.
About the white man other than that right there, Oshi. I mean nothing else. We can't have no discussion. We can't have nothing until you are able to answer that question. And nobody can answer it. That's the question I always ask the devil whenever they start talking about the humanity of the white man and how good the white man is for the world. I just ask him that question, and I've never had nobody answer the question. And black folks, if you want to know the truth about it, don't even want to hear you say it to them.
No, because the fear has been instilled in us. But let me finish up this program, Jay. And
Hotep,
dear brother, appreciate you, man. I hope you get a chance to listen on Friday, man. All right?
I will. I'll be in the house.
We all will, Jay. All right. Take care, brother. Yeah, man. We talked today about the COVID-19 virus that's going around the planet. And of course, how it's going to affect African people. The reality is, you know, we have to be aware. We have to be vigilant. This virus will affect us adversely, not as bad on the continent as it is in other places. You know, I'm quite sure for those American Africans or the Africans that live in Europe, European Africans, you know, it's just as devastating as the Caucasians that have lived there. Because, yes, they can catch this virus, too, just like all the other things that were created, like AIDS and Ebola and so forth. You can get it, too. You're a human being. You know, sometimes we have more resistance because of our physiological makeup sometimes. But, hey, we're susceptible, too. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. In fact, Friday's program dedicated to women. This Friday and the Friday after next and the Monday program, this is Women's Month. And so we're talking about sisters. I think I'm trying to get Sister Bonisiwa and some others to, you know, to be on the program to talk about issues that are affecting our sisters. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and it's sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we shall and we will be victorious. Peace, family. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday.